The following paid program is furnished by Raskin Resources Productions. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff.
Welcome to the Patricia Raskin Show, the program that helps you turn obstacles into opportunities, challenges into solutions, and find answers to tough questions. The award-winning powerhouse voice of radio, Patricia Raskin. And now, here's your host, Patricia Raskin.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to the Patricia Raskin Show. We're here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. We are the voice of Southern New England. And in the first half hour, I'm interviewing Timothy Sweet. And this program, this half hour, is brought to you by the Law Office of Timothy M. Sweet in Providence, which focuses on divorce, child custody, child support, domestic violence, and adoption. And welcome, Tim Sweet. Timothy.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Rhode Island.
All right.
Happy Father's Day weekend. Thank
That's
you for having
right.
me.
That's right. And you are a father.
I am a father. It's my second crack at Father's Day tomorrow. I have a 13-month-old at home. I was wondering where I am.
And adorable, too. I've seen pictures. So today we're going to talk about, speaking of children, we're going to talk about child placement. Which parent gets the child in a divorce and why? I already feel stressed just saying that, Timothy.
Yeah, you and me both. You and me both. And the judge. Well, everybody's stressed. Everybody's stressed. Everybody's miserable. That's how you know you're in family court.
Okay. So your message to parents about placement would be don't fight.
Don't fight.
Yeah. And how simple is that? We were talking about
this. Very simple. No, and this is how we start off every conference. So you sit down with both parents, and it's better if each parent has legal representation. It's just much more.
Yeah.
Everything goes much more smoothly. And you usually give them, depending on the travel of the case, you give them 10 to 15 to 20 minutes to just yell at each other and scream at each other like cats and dogs. And then we have a rule at my conferences where after that little introduction, after they've gotten everything off of their chest, we ban the past tense from the conference. So, again, after 15 minutes of the screaming and gnashing of teeth, we say, fine, we're not going to talk about the past anymore. Starting from now, we're only going to talk about the future, or we're only going to talk about the child, or both. And then you try.
And now what happens when that happens? How does the dynamic change?
It usually takes another 15, 20 minutes for them to get used to the banning of the prohibition of the past tense, but then you actually do start to get somewhere. And even if you only agree to, you know, what we're going to do on Thanksgiving in 2018, then once they get a foothold and they see, and this is the absolute black letter law key to family court, is that once they figure out that they can actually sit down, despite everything that has happened or has not happened between these two, and figure it out for themselves without a judge and eventually without attorneys and without a counselor, then that they're really empowered by that, and they save a lot of stress and a lot of money and a lot of time, and they go on and be their better selves and their better parents.
So then, once they can get to that point, then it's just a matter of you writing it up for them and presenting it.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yep, it's all uphill from there. But they have to realize that they can do that, that they can get past.
All right, so of all the cases you've seen, what's the percentage of people that can do that? And that can come up with the decision on their own, and you basically are writing it up. 50%, 30%?
Well, for one afternoon or one morning in court, maybe 50 to 60%. But that can do it without having to return to court and bicker over every little thing. Much less, maybe 20%.
Really?
Yes.
And what are they bickering over?
Whatever they feel like. Whatever happened to, you know, where are we gonna pick little Tommy up, and where we're going to drop him off, and who's going to do the commute, and who has the transportation, and how much are you paying in child support, and when, and why, and like I said, who gets Thanksgiving? I mean, you name it, because it's not actually about the thing that we're talking about.
Of course, I was going to say that next.
That's never important. It's never that important. Everybody loves Thanksgiving, but it's never that important. It's about
power.
What did the boyfriend or the father do 2 years ago? What did the mother or the wife do 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. And we are now weaponizing, or the party is trying to weaponize, the family court system and whatever picayune matter we're discussing against them for that reason.
Okay, so tell me what that, let's fast forward with what you just said. So they're weaponizing, they're holding grudges, they're bitter. Tell me the effect of that long term.
Well, it's expensive. it's difficult on the child, first and foremost. Even no matter how great a parent thinks that he or she is at insulating the child from this, kids are amazingly intuitive. They really are. It's amazing how sharp and perceptive they are. So they know when something's wrong with mommy or daddy or both.
Stressful and damaging for the child.
First and foremost.
It's expensive for the parents, and it's also stressful for the parents. And I wonder how much they can move on in their life. Because if they're that bitter and angry, aren't they going to carry that into the next relationship?
I know
you're not a therapist, but...
Right. Yeah. I wonder if I could pass for a certified therapist at this point. I don't know.
But what do you think about that, Timothy?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think there has never been a former spouse or a mom, dad, boyfriend, girlfriend who's gone into family court and levied a series of spiteful or picky charges against their ex for any reason, and who's come out a better person or a better parent because of it. The cost in stress and time and money and energy and parenting and focus is too great. It's too expensive. And what we're blessed with is that the Rhode Island court judges understand that.
Okay. So, folks, here's your job. Wonderful listeners, I'm giving you homework. If you are a parent, a relative, an aunt or uncle, a grandparent, a very close friend, a foster parent, and you're very involved somehow in a case that Timothy's describing here. People are bickering. It's hurting the children. Call us right now at 438-WPRO, 438-9776 with your comments and your questions for Timothy Sweet. We're also going to give you his number that you may want to call, and you can call during the show and just leave a message and say, I heard it on the Patricia Raskin Show. I'd like to talk with you. And Timothy will call you back and offer you a complimentary consultation on the phone.
Yes.
All right. Phone number, please.
401-595-1665. And that is my cell phone. I question the prudence of it. But nonetheless, that's what it is. Family court attorney, and everything in family court is an emergency. So call me at any time. 401-595-1665.
Don't suffer and struggle. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons that I do this work, is to help people reduce their suffer and their struggle and give them hope and help them have more joy in their life. We all have stuff, all of us. And as I say, my motto is we teach others what we need to learn most for ourselves. So I need to learn this stuff, too. That's why I interview these amazing people that can help you. But really, listen to this. And the people that I have on the program are all very knowledgeable, and they're all out there helping the public, and that's what we're doing here, folks. So again, if you know people who are bickering over child placement or bickering in divorce, or maybe they're not at that point of divorce yet, but they're getting there, give us a call, ask your question on the air, or call Timothy now. He won't answer right now because he's here, but 401-595-1665 and leave your message. And please do that, because we are here to help you. All right. Let's talk about, let's talk a little bit more about the money. So let's say you are going through a divorce and you've decided this isn't going to work, but one of the parties, husband or wife, is losing a job. How does this factor in?
Well, I think if husband or wife is losing a job right at the time of divorce, they would have to consider an alimony payout from their better half, their significant other. And alimony, there's two things you have to know about alimony that most people don't walking into family court. Number one, non-modifiable. So no matter what happens, if you get alimony and it's part of a court order, it's non-modifiable if it's part of a final court order or a judgment.
Really? That can't be modified?
Non-modifiable. It's black letter law in the family court.
Wait a second. Okay, so 6 months after the divorce, you're giving so much in alimony, then you lose your job, or God forbid, you get into an accident. You are still responsible for that? You can't go back in and talk to the judge?
Good luck. Good luck going back to talk to the judge. Non-modifiable
by
nature.
Wow. Has it always been that way?
Well, it's always as far as I've been there. Yeah, talk about
that
before.
That I actually didn't know.
Yeah.
All right. Again, call us, folks. 438-WPRO, 438-9776. Wow. It's never modifiable?
Yeah, you'd have to show extraordinary circumstances, which... It's very difficult to do, non-modifiable. And it's also not, the other thing is, it's not an income equalizer. No judge wants to hear that, you know, your wife makes $180,000 a year and you make $30,000 a year, and therefore there should be an offset of some $70,000. That's not how it works. If you believe under the case law that you need certain retraining or re-education or just time to find employment, then you can apply for alimony for a temporary period that's non-modifiable, mm-hmm. to get yourself on your feet.
Mm. But if you're the one making the 30, and the, and let's say the woman's making the 180, let's say, for example, and the woman would be paying the alimony because she makes more, correct?
Correct.
Would she then get custody of the child because she's making more, or not necessarily?
No, your income is actually, there are a number of factors laid out in what's called Pettinato v. Pettinato from 1990 Supreme Court case law, which lays out what judges will consider, what factors, and income is it's barely even persuasive, never mind binding.
So they really look at the competence of the person and the caring of the person, the availability of the parent.
Yes, as well as the number of other factors, including the criminal record of either party, the child's preference, depending on his or her age and maturity, what the parents want, of course, first and foremost, and which parent can foster a better relationship between the child and the other parent.
Hmm. All right. So again, 438-WPRO, 438-9776. Okay. What about, more about, another money question. College. Okay. Who pays? Who has to pay? Do they have to pay? That was not always mandatory. And is it mandatory now?
Not in Rhode Island. Not here.
But other states it is.
I know in Mass it's more a matter of debate. You can, under certain circumstances in Mass, go ahead and try to get the non-custodial parent, the parent who's paying child support, to contribute to college in certain circumstances, but you will not get that in Rhode Island. Post-secondary education will not be, there is absolutely no case law demanding that the non-custodial parent, let's say the dad, has to contribute to college no matter what the expense, so no matter how much he makes.
And is that mandatory in other states?
I know it's there's better precedent for it in Mass. I don't know whether it's mandatory, but in Rhode Island it is not. The dad is not on the hook, or the non-custodial parent's not on the hook for college
So this
expenses.
Is where the two parties have to sit down and negotiate, hopefully in a friendly way.
Hopefully. Okay. But that's everything. That really is everything. As great as the judges in the family court are, these decisions should be made between these parents and these parties, because this is a dynamic, a financial and familial dynamic that they've created that is a bond between them. And absolutely no judge should have to make those decisions. These parents and people should make these decisions on their own.
What about another money question? What about unexpected expenses of activities like children's sports that can really add up?
Usually, what the rule of thumb is, if both parties agree to an extracurricular, t-ball, softball, karate, what have you, then they should both split that expense. So whichever parent has the child most of the time will pay it up front and then send the bill to the other parent, and he or she would pay half. But if you don't agree to it and you have a reason why not to, then that expense is
all. Can that go in the divorce decree?
It should. It can and it should, yeah. Everything you can put in the decree, you should, because, again, it takes the venom out of, it takes the sting out of any kind of argument that the parties could have then.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Timothy Sweet. And Timothy Sweet is the owner of the Law Office of Timothy Sweet and is bringing this program to you today. When we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of things, take your questions, but one of the things I'm going to ask is about life insurance policies. Do you have to keep one? Can you prevent your spouse from cashing it out? What about that? And what about other issues around child placement, around child custody? We're taking your calls, so please call 438-WPRO, 438-9776, toll-free, 800-321-9776. Again, if you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a close friend, a relative, anyone who's watching this go on and would like to see some help for your friend, give us a call or call Timothy on his cell phone. Say you heard it here, and he will call you back confidentially. 401-595-1665. That's Timothy M. Sweet. You're listening to The Patricia Raskin Show. Right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO, we are the voice of Southern New England, and we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to The Patricia Raskin Show. Right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO, we are the voice of Southern New England. And my guest for this half hour and sponsor of this show is the Law Office of Timothy M. Sweet. And Timothy M. Sweet is a family attorney who focuses on divorce, child custody, child support, domestic violence, and adoption. And we are taking your calls right here at 438-WPRO, 438-9776, or toll-free, 800-321-9776. Your question is for Timothy. If you are a parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, relative, someone who's watching dissension happen, watching the children suffer, Timothy will be happy to answer your questions here right now in the next 10 minutes, or I'm going to give you his cell number. Call him and tell him that you heard it on this show, 401-595-1665, 595-1665. Now, if you're in the car and you can't write this down, just email me, patricia@patriciaraskin.com, and I'll get all the information to Timothy for you. Okay, welcome back, Timothy.
Thanks.
All right, let's talk about life insurance policies. Are you supposed to keep one, and how do you prevent the spouse from cashing it out?
I wouldn't say you're supposed to. I always ask that if there is a great disparity in income between husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, whenever there's child support or alimony being paid and there's a sharp disparity in income between the parties, I always ask that the breadwinner obtain it, and so long as it's affordable to him or her, because then there are, you know, there's one, two, or three, and sometimes little people who are depending upon that person for a very tangible financial benefit, for a quality of life. If it becomes a matter of contest, unless it's really egregious, I wouldn't necessarily draw things out because of it and make anything more difficult than it has to be. But it is something I look for in certain cases, and how you prevent them from cashing it out. So if it were a whole life insurance policy that were, I guess, a marital asset and a divorce, and I suppose if it were cashed out, it would be first a matter of where did that asset go? Was it funneled into something else or converted into something else?
That has to be looked at, right? Yeah, it's part of the estate of the two people.
Right, so there'd have to be some kind of forensic accounting or tracing of that. And secondly, it would simply be a matter of repurchasing other life insurance, assuming that the breadwinner is still insurable. So it's usually in those cases, if that were done, that's something that can be cured and taken care of, sometimes even out of court, so long as the money can be traced and the person who cashed out the plan is still insurable.
Okay. All right. What is it that you would really like our listeners to know today based on, you know, your practice in the last few weeks, things that have come up maybe that you'd like, maybe that can help our listeners prevent things, or if they're going through it, deal with things?
Leave the past in the past, and really do. You're going to have to communicate with this person. If you have a child with this person, if there's no abuse, let's say, if you have a child with this person and there's no abuse, then you are going to have to co-parent with this person well beyond 18. You're going to see them at least once a week, and they're going to be at Little League games and IEP meetings and PTO and bake sales and plays and eventually weddings. So there's going to have to be a detente at some point, and you're just going to have to leave the past in the past for the benefit of your child or your children. Mm-hmm. If you haven't tried counseling, try counseling. You don't even have to wait until Monday. If you're listening to this right now and you have formed a relationship and you're going through marital problems, call a marriage counselor. It's even if it doesn't work out, you'd be amazed what you find out about yourself and about your partner.
Because it's always two.
It's always
two. We say, oh, it's all him, it's all her, I did nothing.
Every single time. So I rambled on a bit. to summarize, try counseling. You're going to have to communicate. If there's no abuse and you have a child, you're going to have to communicate. Mm-hmm. And life is too short. You have to leave the past in the past.
What about a couple that comes to you that doesn't have children? A, is there an alimony issue or no? And B, is it easier because there isn't a child involved? Yes and no?
Sometimes it can be easier. If I have a divorce come into my office and there's no children, then it's simply a matter of what are the assets, what are the debts, and we have to value the assets. And if there's not a 400-pound gorilla in the room, such as a closely held company or something that's really going to be a burden, then I don't know if it'll be easier, but it can be tidier. You know, unless they're fighting about Fido.
The dog or the cat or any animal or any pet for that matter.
Right.
What about alimony? Does that play a role today with folks who don't have children?
Children are dealt with in in child support calculations and tax exemptions. So that's actually compartmentalized. Alimony is strictly a matter of how much one of the parties to a marriage need, how much time and money they need to get on their feet in the job market for whatever reason.
Does it matter how long you've been married with alimony?
It does. Yes, there. Just like Pettinato lays out the factors regarding which parent the child will live with, there is case law on alimony which goes into the factors a judge must consider when determining whether or not to award alimony, and as well as one factor is fault of either party if there's been, you know, adultery or drug addiction or what have you. The length of the marriage is also considered, as well as the income, education, background, and resources of both parties.
And you try to settle that before you get to
the judge. Try to settle everything. You should try to make a good faith effort to settle everything. It's the best for your client, first and foremost. And secondly, the judge is going to demand implicitly that before you go bother him or her, considering how busy and crowded their dockets are, that you've made a good faith attempt to at least try to settle and resolve some of the issues before you get to court.
All right. All right, let's give out your number. 401-595-1665. This is the law office of Timothy M. Sweet. If you have any question on divorce, child custody, child support, domestic violence, adoption, divorce in general, call Timothy. This is his cell phone. He will definitely call you back, and he will definitely answer your question. And this half hour has been brought to you by the law office of Timothy M. Sweet. Again, 401-595-1665. Timothy, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, and happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's Day to everyone. Okay, we're going to take our break now, and when we come back, we're going to be with Andrew Solani, who's the operations manager for Power Chair Recyclers of New England. And this is very interesting. They are diverting medical equipment from the landfill and refurbishing them and helping people and helping our environment all at the same time. You're listening to The Patricia Raskin Show right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. We're the voice of Southern New England from the Seascape News Center. The news is up next with Laura Clarizio. Take it away, Laura.